It's that time of the day, it's that time of the week, it's Friday, the fourth instalment of our feature. We call it Sci-Fry, Science Fridays.
Yeah.
You get it. It's a chance to celebrate all that Merseyside has to offer from the world of science. Now, it's basically a chance to marvel and learn from the experts from the School of Tropical Medicine, University of Liverpool, John Moores University, all famous for their know-how and world-leading developments in science and in medicine. Today, let me introduce Professor Graham Close from Liverpool John Moores University. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Thank you for coming in. Graham, your work in sports and exercise science. I've been told by my co-presenter to say sports science. What does that actually mean?
It's a great question. I think the concept of sports science encompasses everything that can maybe help performance and health, you know, from everything from physiology, nutrition, psychology. You know, we're the guys in the background when it comes to the elite performance, but hopefully have them small marginal gains effects that's quite popular to talk about now.
Is it a new thing, though, sports science? Because it feels new. Because I'm thinking back in the day when, you know, you'd get footballers who'd have a pint of milk and a steak before a game and that kind of thing. You know, was the science involved back then, or is it relatively new?
It's recently, you know, we're talking about 40 years, and here in Liverpool we're really fortunate because, you know, Professor Tom Riley, who's building I work in, he was pretty much the pioneer of sports science.
Right.
Set it up at Liverpool John Moores. So, you know, in the UK, we can really look to Liverpool as being the home of sports science. And like I say, about 40 years in the making.
And you used to be a professional rugby player, I think, didn't you?
I did, back in the mid-90s, yes. I had a season at Warrington and then worked my way down the divisions, the likes of Lee and Workington. But that's been really helpful in my second career that I've got now. It really helps me to relate to the athletes that I work with.
So you can say to the athletes that you work with, do you know what, I've been here. I've actually been here, and I know what you're feeling at the moment. Why don't you try X, Y, and Z? Has that helped?
A huge amount. But that's exactly what you were just saying. But I kind of understand the pressures and the demands that are placed on athletes, and you know, on the back of that, I can try and hopefully dumb down the science a little bit and put it into bite-sized pieces, and work out when is the right time to go hard, and when do you actually need to back off, and you know, with the high pressure demands are under. You need to pick your right time to put your interventions in place.
And I suppose working in the area that you do, you've got to keep yourself fit, or no one's going to take you seriously, are they? So you need to kind of practice what you preach.
Do you know, it's interesting you say that, but there was actually a research study published which showed that, particularly in my world of sport nutrition, if you don't actually look the part, no matter how good your advice is, it's going to fall on deaf ears.
Yeah.
So I'm not in as good a shape as I was when I was a professional athlete, but I'd still like to think that I can walk into my environments and look the part.
And what you put in your body is incredibly important, isn't it? You know, you'll get, let's take rugby players or football players or whatever, even if you're playing at an amateur level, even if you're just playing with your mates on a Tuesday night, you know, some will have a little bit of rice, a little bit of chicken, a little bit of pasta, you know, and they'll say, I feel good. But those who've had a pie start to struggle. Why is that?
Well, Luke, when it comes to nutrition, we've got short-term and long-term effects. If we think about the long-term effects first, you know, that's everything to do with your body composition. You know, probably more important than the exercise that you do. So whether you've got the muscle mass that you want or whether you've got the too much body fat. Wellness, you know, if you think about our immune system, you know, that's fueled by, you know, the right proteins and the right carbohydrate. Mm. So we can become unwell. And then the obvious one is energy. You know, depending on the type of sport, some sports we can fuel it on body fat, but the high intensity, short duration sprint type events like football and rugby, we can only fuel that on carbohydrate. Mm. And we've only got enough carbohydrate ever for around about 60 minutes of exercise.
Right, that's interesting.
Our stores will run out by around about 60 to 70 minutes. So that's why we need to think about taking carbohydrate on board during the exercise. But perhaps more importantly, loading our muscles in the days building up to a game so we can actually start with, for want of a better phrase, a full tank of petrol.
Right. When you liken it to having a full tank of petrol, you know, that's the fuel, isn't it? But all cars are different, and I suppose there's no one size fits all for the human body either, is there? Or is there?
No, not at all. You know, we hear a lot about different diets, and you know, you go into any shop, you'll see 1,000 different diet books.
Yeah.
My role is about working out what plan will work with what athlete. you know, and that's not just based on their own physiology, but it's based on their lifestyle and, you know, what will work for them, what right. will fit within their daily routine. And even thinking about, you know, the athletes I work with that's got young families compared with the young single lads and girls.
So different lifestyles.
Oh, the lifestyle's got a huge effect on this. You know, we've got to think about what they're doing. I often talk about the other 22 hours that we have the players at the club for two hours a day, or they train for 2 hours. You know, okay, that's important, but what they're doing the other 22 hours will dictate how they rock up to the football game on a Saturday.
Yeah, and as you get a little bit older, the body changes, doesn't it? If you're playing a sport when you're 19, 20, or you're playing a sport, the same sport, when you're 52, 53, yes, you are going to slow down, but do you slow down in all aspects? Is it the mind that slows down as well?
Do you know what? In terms of a mind, I think that actually seems to get sharper. You know, you hear about football players who are getting to the end of a career but get away with it because they're kind of one step ahead of the game.
Gareth Barry's a perfect example, isn't he?
There's a lot of examples like that where maybe as they slow down, the positional sense becomes that little bit better. The other thing to bear in mind is that Linford Christie won his Olympic gold medal at the age of, I think it was 38.
Yeah.
So with the right training, nutrition, there's no reason why we should slow down to that extent.
And what about these powders that you see now? You know, you can buy a barrel full of powder.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of supplements or whatever. You can't live on those, can you? They're just kind of add-ons.
You really, really shouldn't live on these
things.
Some
people do try that though, don't they?
Look, the name gives it away. It's called a supplement.
Yeah.
It's not called a substitute. And you've got to remember, you know, I'm a deputy chair of the Sport and Exercise Nutrition Register, which regulates sport nutrition in the UK.
Mm.
And we always talk about a food-first approach, but you've got to get the food right. If you don't get the food right, these supplements become, you know, almost a waste of time.
Mm.
There are some examples or some situations where, let's take, for example, vitamin D in the winter time. We're not going to get enough because it comes from sunlight exposure. Right. So we might supplement to correct the diet. But you're exactly right, the food has to come first, and we see so much benefit in athletes by getting the general diet right and then less attention on these magical pills and powders.
So just go back to the car routine, as we mentioned before. I suppose it's all about having an MOT and have a regular service and putting the right fuel in and the right amount of fuel as well.
And I guess you could summarise sports science that way, maybe we're the mechanics.
All right. And what a great way to end. Listen, it's been fascinating. It's flown over that. It really has. But thanks very much indeed for coming in. It's a real insight into what you do at your place as well. But Graeme, thank you.
No problem. Thanks
thank you very
me.
Much indeed. You're welcome. Yeah, we'll do another one. Science Friday, Sci-Fry next week as well. Professor Graeme Close from